Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour on this Monday, the third day of October, 2011. I'm Jeff Seifert for Raven News. City officials in Sitka have their fingers crossed that voters will amend the municipal charter tomorrow and allow them to nudge the property tax upwards to pay for road repairs and hospital infrastructure. While voters have approved at least two temporary sales tax increases in recent years, the property tax has remained solidly capped. What the electorate does on Election Day is anyone's guess, but Sitka is not alone. Other communities in Southeast also have to solve the problem of increasing maintenance costs and declining government revenues. KCAW's Robert Woolsey checked in with the city managers in Juneau and Petersburg to learn how these towns are coping with the same issues.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness.
It's not exactly the tale of two cities, but Petersburg's acting city manager, Carl Hagerman, is awaiting the end of the Secure Rural Schools Act with about as much enthusiasm as Sidney Carton awaited the guillotine.
We're not looking forward to that day at all, and we definitely struggle with where to find the money to maintain our local roads.
Although Hagerman, who will by now have returned to his regular job as public works director, was not around to see it, Petersburg also benefited from large amounts of paving during Southeast's legislative heyday in the late 1980s and early 1990s.
And here we are, you know, 20 years later, and a lot of that paving that was done at the time is in need of touch-up, and we still have plenty of other paving opportunities in Petersburg that have yet to be done at all. So we have a lot of need here in Petersburg and not a lot of money to get it done.
The Secure Rural Schools Act has been a boon for communities like Sitka and Petersburg. It used to be called timber receipts. In fact, on Sitka's city budget, the line item still reads stumpage. Recently, it's been just over $1 million annually in Sitka, which has been split between the city government and the school district. In Petersburg, Hagerman says they've used Secure Rural Schools Act money to set up a dedicated fund for road maintenance, which helps explain why he's unhappy that Alaska's congressional delegation has warned recipients of the funding, which goes to rural forest lands all over the West, that renewal of the act likely will not be included in the 2012 budget. That, says Hagerman, leaves Petersburg in a familiar bind.
The millage rate in Petersburg is capped at 10, so every opportunity or proposal to increase that has to be approved by the voters, much like is going on at Sitka right now. So I don't have a whole lot of hope that something like that would fly with our local electorate either. But there's something needs to happen sometime in the future. We definitely have a need pretty soon to make sure that we don't fall short once that Secure Rural Schools funding goes away.
In Juneau, it's another tale altogether. Rod Swope manages our capital city.
We currently have a 5% sales tax, and we typically will allocate 1% of that, which equates to about $8 million a year, to maintaining or improving our streets, sidewalks, and stairways.
If this news story truly were a Dickens novel, Swope wouldn't be anywhere near a guillotine. He'd be carving the prize turkey at the Cratchits' home on Christmas Eve.
Yes, I think we're doing pretty well with this approach.
The $8 million of its sales tax that Juneau spends on road maintenance is what Sitka generates in sales tax, period. Juneau's population is over three times greater than Sitka's, and it gets about four times as many cruise ship visitors. This may explain why it's so far ahead in sales tax revenue. But Swope cautions that roads alone are a tough sell for taxes. The road money has to be bundled with more high-profile expenses.
I don't know how well it would fare if it was a separate sales tax initiative for only for roads and streets and sidewalks. But I think what's critical here is it has been included with an additional 2% for, you know, police, fire, pretty basic and critical health safety public service operations.
So where does that leave Sitka on Tuesday? Raising the property tax cap by a half mil will generate roughly $500,000, enough to offset the city's loss of Secure Rural Schools funding, which would be a nice short-term fix if we were Petersburg, but far short of the actual cost of maintaining an urban environment, anything on a par with Juneau. Sitka's Administrator Jim Dinley has asked for a place to start. Voters on Tuesday will decide whether or not to give him one.
It's a far, far better thing I do than I have ever
reporting
done.
In Sitka, I'm Robert
it's
Woolsey.
It's a far, far better rest I go to than I have ever known.
And in advance of tomorrow's municipal election, Raven Radio has been profiling candidates for office. Gary Paxton is one of those candidates. He's running for the Sitka Assembly as a write-in candidate and until last week had been traveling in the Middle East. He sat down for an interview with KCAW's Ed Ronco on Friday morning.
Gary Paxton grew up in Sitka, left for a 30-year career with the U.S. Army, and then returned in 1992 to serve as Sitka's municipal administrator, a job he held until 2001. Now he's running a write-in campaign for the Sitka Assembly.
Well, why would an old man like me, who enjoys his leisure time, want to do this?
Three reasons, Paxton says. The first is that when he declared his write-in candidacy, there were only three candidates on the ballot for three seats. He says people should have a choice.
The second is, I want a more open and supportive city government committed to improving our town and solving problems. And I think we've been short there the last few years.
Paxton says during his time on the Board of Trustees at Sheldon Jackson College, it felt like it was tough to get the city to join collaborative efforts. He says the city can help in ways beyond money by committing time and talent to try to solve widespread problems. Paxton's third reason for running is that he wants to make sure the city's budget realistically reflects community needs.
Listen, in government, there's an unlimited ability to do good and do good, things that are important. But you always have to balance what government wants to do versus the ability of its citizens to pay for it.
He says a lot of Sitkins are on fixed incomes and that he wants to help the city do the work it needs to do to make sure the budget is properly formed.
I also believe you need to fund city government. I mean, city government has an important role to play. We want to educate our kids. We want to have our recreational facilities. We want to do all those things we want to do. But we got to be sure that we're doing it after ensuring that we've minimized the cost to the citizens.
Bringing those two goals into balance, aiming high on what city government can do for citizens while still keeping the costs to citizens low, is tricky. Paxton says when he was municipal administrator, he and the city finance department tried to make sure they were looking ahead.
And we did not do everything perfectly, but the issue was that we tried to at least be able to anticipate 2 or 3 years ahead of time of when we needed to increase a fund, so we were able to put the information out and then provide good information to the city on why we did it.
Paxton's tenure in City Hall began with a crisis, the closure of the Alaska pulp mill. The mill's shutdown dealt a major economic blow to Sitka, and while the larger economy bounced back from the mill closure, Paxton says now there are new problems to address.
The reduction in the tourism in the last 2 years is being felt in Main Street. It's being felt in some of the businesses in the community and some of the charter fleet.
He says he sees Sitka as a diverse community, one that thrives from the intersections of fishing, jobs, education, native culture and contributions, the arts, and more.
But all these things that we embrace in our town cost money. And so I'm clearly committed to, aggressive about, how can we sustain and improve our economy within the ethos of small-town atmosphere, quality of life, and improving economy. So,
in addition to Sitka's economic concerns, Paxton says he's also mindful of the city's energy crisis. Demand for electricity comes close to outpacing the city's hydropower generation abilities. Paxton says he applauds efforts to raise the dam at Blue Lake, a major project the Assembly has considered among its top priorities in recent years. City officials are also exploring changes to the electrical rate structure in Sitka. Paxton says that's exactly what should happen. But longer-term solutions to both energy and economic needs could involve controversial changes at the state and regional levels.
Strategically, the Southeast Intertie and getting a road up the Lynn Canal are the two things that's going to solve a lot of the problems in Southeast Alaska.
The Southeast Intertie would connect electrical grids throughout the region and could help lower the cost of power for smaller rural communities. A highway extending north from Juneau, meanwhile, into Lynn Canal, could better link Southeast Alaska to the rest of the state and continent.
The other thing that is certainly controversial and needs to be dealt with publicly and fully. But if you get a road across Baranoff, if you used to do that, if you choose to do that, then you've really in a road from Cake to Petersburg. All of a sudden, we're into short stretches of the marine highway system where you could move goods and services and people more freely, economically, and so forth. So that's the long-term strategy that would really, really solve the problem.
He says he supports both the Southeast Intertie and a road system that makes transportation easier in and out of Sitka. Paxton is one of two write-in candidates for Assembly, along with Phyllis Hackett. Printed on the ballot will be the names of Pete Esquiro, Mike Reif, and Andrew Traugott. The municipal election is October 4th. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can hear our full interview with Gary Paxton on our website, kcaw.org. It's posted there with profiles and interviews for all the municipal election candidates. And again, the election is tomorrow. The polls open at 7 a.m. A man convicted of killing a woman in Montana has been indicted on murder charges in a 15-year-old Alaska case. Robert D. Kowalski is charged with murder in the 1996 shooting death of 39-year-old Sandra Perry. Kowalski in the 2008 Montana case was convicted of shooting his girlfriend in the head after an argument. In the Alaska case, Perry died of a single gunshot wound to the head July 21, 1996 at Glacier Bear Lodge in Yakutat. Kowalski at the time told investigators he and Perry heard a bear outside their room and that he armed himself with a shotgun. He told investigators he tripped onto the bed and fell onto Perry, and when he got up, the gun fired, striking Perry in the head. That's it for Raven News for this hour. It is 1 minute past 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. Good morning.